Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God. My name is Pastor Marquise, and we are a non-denominational church led by the living and active Word of God in the heart of Seattle, Washington, by Pastors Harold and Annis Faye Franklin. Whether this is your first time, second time, be sure to subscribe and share this with those that need it. Now join me and be ready to live and learn from the Word of God.
Amen. Pastor Willie came out tonight. Praise the Lord. Man, he's about to get us going tonight in some prayer. I know that, right? Amen. We're just excited to be here. I'm continuing on the message on prayer. And today we're going to talk about get away time. Somebody say get away time. Now, like I said last time, this is not time where you're trying to get away with something. This is when you're trying to get away to get with God. Amen. And it's very necessary for us to be able to have that time with God so that we can be able to hear what God has for us. Amen. Amen. Don't worry about it. It'll come up in a second. Hallelujah, Jesus. Let me just go ahead and open up in prayer, and then we'll get going. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, dear God, for this day. Dear God, we glorify you, dear God, for who you are, for what you are doing in our lives, oh God. We're thankful, dear God, that you woke us up this morning and started us, dear God, and gave us a mind to want to worship and a mind to want to praise you, dear God. Heavenly Father, I just pray, dear God, that you would just keep us as we go, dear God, as this word is spoken, allow it to be shared in our heart, dear God, and us to grab a hold of the word, oh God. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen. I'm sorry. Hey, my water's over there. By the... Sorry about that. Sometimes your voice want to be acting up, but we still going to get this message out. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We talking getaway time. Last time we talked about some of the times that Jesus got away. Anybody remember some of those times? Anybody remember the times he went away to pray and what happened after that? What can somebody share with me? He was tested. He got in prayer time and then he was tested. But what were some of those tests? You guys remember? He walked on water. That was a test because that's something physically we don't do, right? And from that test, since he was connected with God, he was able to pass that test. And people were able to understand who he was. Amen. The other situation was the woman who was caught in adultery. Right? Now, a lot of people don't talk about Jesus going away before that happened. He went away to pray. And then as soon as he came back, they said, hey, Jesus, we found somebody early in the morning. You know, we found him. And Jesus was prepared because he spent time with God. Amen. So we have to be prepared by spending time with God. If you want to do great things for God and in God, you have to be connected. Amen. I'm going to say it like this. We have Bluetooth on our phone, right? You have a Bluetooth and you have to, before it connects with something, you have to do what it is called. It's called pairing, right? If I don't pair my phone Bluetooth with the headpiece that you have, maybe it's the wireless headpiece, or even now they got it to pair with your cars, your TVs, all kind of stuff. If it's not paired, even though it has that accessibility, it will not work, right? Has anybody ever paired a Bluetooth? One of those headphones that stay in your ear all day, and sometimes when you're talking to it, it looks like you just talking to yourself, right? but we have to pair, and I'm going to look at this says the definition of Bluetooth pairing is pairing happens when two Bluetooth-enabled devices agree, somebody say agree, to communicate with one another. When this happens, the two devices join what is called a trusted pair, all right? It's called a trusted pair. Now, that's interesting because I even like this definition. It says they have to agree. Somebody say agree again to communicate. Then they also have to, after they are joined, they are a trusted pair. When we are, do we trust God when we're paired with God? That's what it should be like. And when we trust God, we're paired with him. That means whatever he's saying, we're in connection. How many of you have been, you're saved, you're moving in what God has called you to move in, but sometimes you come to a choice in your life, and if your pairing or your connection is not as clear, now you're wondering, okay, God, what do I need to do? Right? You get to a place where it's like, okay, God, I know that you have said this in my life, but right now I'm at a situation where I need to hear from you so that I can be connected and move in the direction that I need to go. What happens is you are beginning to move away from the pairing. And even after the things are paired together, you can choose to turn it on or off. Amen? Sometimes we choose to turn our prayer life off and we suffer the connection from God. So this whole series is just about getting our prayer lives back together so that when the test comes, we know exactly how to react. Amen. Somebody say, I'm paired with God. Let's go to another story. Mark chapter 1, verse 35. And it's not a story. It is a story. This is real life right here, too. I always tell people these are not fables that somebody just made up. This really happens. Amen. And when you got Mark chapter 1, verse 35, just say amen. I'm going to go ahead and read it off of there. It says, now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place. And there he prayed. Somebody tell me what a solitary place is. A place where you're by yourself. So this already has a lot in it on prayer, right? He says something that I don't like a lot, and that's early morning, right? It said, now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight. Goodness gracious. So a long while before daylight for us is what? Right now, the sun comes up around 7-ish. We're going to have the daylight savings coming. It's going to come a little bit earlier, right? Or actually, it'll come a little bit later because we'll push the clock back, thank God. Right. But he gets up early, and he gets in a quiet place, a still place, to spend time with God. And then it says, and there he prayed. Keep on going. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. When they found him, they said to him, everyone is looking for you. Let's keep on going. But he said to them, let us go into the next town that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth. Now, somebody may look at this scripture and be like, there's not a lot going on. But what we do know is that Jesus found out his next purpose from spending time with God. You guys see that? Because they said, Jesus, come on back. People are waiting for you. They're looking for you. Come on, we got work to do back there. And Jesus is like, no, we got to go to the next town because there's work for us to do there. Now, the disciples, and it's funny because a lot of us sometimes we are the images of the disciples, right? We're like, Jesus, we got to go over here. Why? Because it looks like that's the place to be. It looks like that's where we have to go. But if we just really spend time with God, we will know exactly where we're supposed to go. A lot of people are living their life that are Christians that think they're doing what's good. And I told people a lot of times you could do things for God and miss what God has for you to do. You can be saying, God, I'm doing this. God, hey, man, I'm excited. God, I'm preaching. God, I'm sharing this with these. I'm giving this food. But you're missing everything that God wants you to do because you're not connected with God. We have to be connected with God. Amen. Jesus was connected, so he knew exactly what his purpose was. And because Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood for our sins and was allowed us to be able to be in connection with God. That's really what the whole purpose of this thing is. Jesus didn't have to come and die on the cross. But if he didn't, we wouldn't be able to have a connection with him. And because he did, we now have access. And it says we can enter into his presence boldly. Amen? Because now we have a relationship with God, and it's really about relationship. If you're a Christian and you have no relationship with God, what that means is you are in a religion. And everybody says, this is not a religion, it's about relationship. Well, if you have a relationship with God, what does that look like? It looks like spending time with God. If I have a relationship with a random person and I keep him random, I don't talk to him hardly, you know, I'm not going to be like, yeah, that's my best friend. But we do that to Jesus. Hardly talk to Jesus. Jesus, I love you though, Lord. I got something to do though. My other friends is calling me. You know, no, that's not how it's supposed to be. He has to be first in our life. Amen. And sometimes you're going to have to get up early. There's times where God wakes me up. My wife knows at 5 o'clock in the morning, that's a hot spot time with God for me sometimes. I don't know why 5, but he'll wake me up and I can't go back to sleep, right? And I know I got to pray. I know I got to pray. Or I might have had a dream about somebody that's one of my family members, and I'm like, God, I'm just going to stay up here and pray because we need to intercede for them. I don't know what's going on, but God, I know that you need to move. But there's going to be times when you pray like that, and the good thing about that is you don't have any distractions. When Jesus got away, he didn't have distractions. His disciples were looking for him. They couldn't even find him. Why? Because he was away. They weren't able to distract him until he was done praying. Amen. That's why it's important to get up. I got 3 kids. I pray during the day, but there's a lot of times they're asking me questions, right? And I tell them, listen, Marquise Jr., go away. Go clean up your room. I know that's going to take an hour. So I'm like, go clean it up. You know what I'm saying? Stay in here so I can spend my time with God. You know, and a good thing about praying, even in front of them, they start repeating you. I got Mari walking around saying the same thing. I'm just saying, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm training them up, amen, in prayer so they know that this is important. It's an important time, and I don't want to be distracted during that time, amen? Let's see where we at. So we got to be paired, and we have to get that solitude time, amen, that time alone with God. Somebody say getaway time. Getaway time. Amen. Prayer will bring clarity to your mission and your purpose. Somebody say, let me say it again. Prayer will bring clarity to your mission and your purpose. That's why it's important to pray. Even as a pastor, Pastor Willie, you've been pastor how long, Pastor Willie? 20 years. Now, I know Pastor Nate, he's been preaching since he was 16, and I'm not going to do the math on that right now. But that's a long time. But he will tell you the key to him continually fulfilling the mission God has given him is prayer. Amen? And we're going to go to see Pastor Nate. That's the church we're talking about. One thing I always love about Pastor Nate is he doesn't get angry about anything. It don't matter how bad you mess something up. I remember his car got crashed, one of his sons crashed, and he was just like, well, you know, and he just like, well, oh, praise God. I'm glad you're okay, right? And, you know, and I always wondered, and I looked up to him for that, but that comes from being connected with God. The more you're connected with God in a prayer life, the easier it is to praise God through no matter what circumstance you go through. Amen? If I'm not in a prayer life or if my prayer life is dead, when something hits me, I'm going to react not in my spirit, but in my flesh. Amen? That's why we're going to be tested. Remember, the test is coming whether you're in prayer or not. We talked about Jesus's tests. Your test is coming whether you're in prayer or not. And if you are in prayer, you can react as God wants you to react. Amen. There's things that go on in this neighborhood that since we are being prayerfully minded and walking in prayer, we don't have to react. We don't have to react. God is going to take care of it. Amen. We're going to look at some more stories about Jesus praying. We got one more from him. And then we're going to look at, actually, I got two more. And then we're going to look at some of the other people who prayed and God was able to give them clarity on their mission. Amen. Let's go to Luke chapter 5, verse 12 through 18. I'm sorry, through 16. If you got it, you can say word, because that's what it is. Luke chapter 5, right? 12 through 16. And it says, and it happened when he was in a certain city that, behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus, and he fell on his face and implored him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then he put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately the leprosy left him, and he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing as a testimony to them, just as Moses commanded. However, somebody say, however. Now, it's interesting because this man had leprosy, right? And, you know, when God does something in your life, it's hard to keep quiet about it, especially if he heals you from something like that. Leprosy back then is kind of like what cancer is today, right? Was leprosy like a cancer, actually? Okay, so skin rot, I don't know if it could be kind of close, but they didn't have a cure for it. When you had leprosy, they put you off to your side. You know, like there was a whole section of town, kind of like, you know how we got these trees over here? That was the leprosy area. People would go in there and nobody else would go in there. They just waiting for you to die. So this person Jesus healed, he's like, man, I got to tell somebody about this. But let's look at what Jesus does after all of this. However, the report went around concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. So he, Jesus, himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. You see that? Even after some of the things that he did, he went to go pray. After that great revival, after that, the many people giving their life to God, he went to go pray. Why? To keep his mind in a place where he doesn't get proud, right? Because when great things in God happen and you're the vessel that God has used, a lot of times people get big-headed. Like, man, look what I did. You know, God, you know, and sometimes you're excited for God, but then you're a little more excited for yourself. But what Jesus did after these great things, he went and prayed. Amen. So after the things that we do, even after you've defeated the test, don't get haughty in your own eyes and think, I've won this. I did it. Go pray so that you can be and stay in the mission, because your mission's not done. You might have just passed one test. When you're in school, you don't just have one test. You have plenty of tests. And if you have a teacher that's really trying to make you fail, you're going to have a test every day, right? You're going to be tested. But after you pass the test, before and after, we got to pray. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Let's go to Matthew chapter 21, 12 through 17. And I call this Jesus Sets the House for Prayer. Now, a lot of us know about this story. Matthew chapter 21, right? Hold up real quick. Matthew chapter 21, verse 12 through 17. All right, it says, then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. Then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant. Somebody say indignant. Man, that means they had a problem with it. All right. And said to him, do you hear what these are saying? And Jesus said, yes. Have you never read? Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise. Then he left them and went out to the city to Bethany, and he lodged there. So what we see is even the house of God or the place where people were to come to worship and to pray was no longer that place. It was full of business ideas, right? Business ideas and business transactions. That's what the house of God was there. But Jesus came and turned it. And then even after he did that, something happened. God was able to move in that place because he changed it back into a house of prayer. You guys see how that happened? Before, it wasn't a house of prayer. But after he changed it back into a house of prayer, he put it right back where it was supposed to be. He set things up how they were really supposed to be. He was able to move in that place. Amen? It said that he healed them, the blind and the lame. But then you all even have those people that were in control of that, upset because somebody else was getting the praise. Right? Somebody else was getting the glory now. They didn't like that. They lost their position. But Jesus wants to move even in the house of God, the temples of God, even though he's not only limited to this temple, he wants to move, but we have to make it a house of prayer. Amen? I remember even going to prayer meetings with my parents back in the day. It would be dark in the church. You know, so I would go to sleep because I was little. I was like, no, nighttime, cool. We're sleeping over at the church. But I remember the older mothers, and it wasn't only them, but there was always something about how the older mothers would just sit there and pray. And you'd be like, man, okay. You know, you would hear them and you would remember them because sometimes it would only be them there. Right? But we have to revive that prayer. Amen. We're speaking on prayer. We're going to be praying. We got to know that as we make this a house of prayer, God is going to begin to move. Amen? Amen. Jesus had to set the temple straight back up for prayer, and that's what we need to do. This is a house of prayer. Wherever we go as the church of God, because we are the church, we are going to be houses of prayer. We're temples of prayer. So it shouldn't be an issue when somebody asks you, hey, can you pray for me? It should be like that. Yeah, that's what I do. Let me pray for you. And let me not only pray, I'm going to expect whatever I'm praying is going to come to pass because it's in the will of God, because I'm going to pray it, first of all. I'm not making something up. I'm not praying for you to win the lotto. That's not Bible. You know what I'm saying? But I'm going to pray what I know that God has told me to pray. And even us, as we are praying, and if we don't know what to pray, sometimes we need to pray in the spirit. I talked about praying in the spirit a couple of weeks ago. When you don't know what to pray, and when I'm praying for people, I begin to speak in tongues and wait for the spirit of God to interpret to me what I should pray for. That's the gift of speaking in tongues. That's really what it's for. We don't speak in tongues to people on the street and be like, you know, say some things like that because they won't understand it. But when the Spirit of God gives you interpretation, now you can speak into these people's lives. Amen. All right. We got about 20 more minutes. Let's go to see some of the people that God used after they were able to spend time with God. Amen. Let's go to Joshua chapter 1. We're getting ready for the Life of a Warrior Young Adult Conference coming up in October. Joshua is one of my favorite warriors in the Bible. You know, Joshua, we don't really see too much wrong that he did, right? Except for that one time his people messed it up for him. But Joshua was a powerful warrior. And a lot of people don't, we really don't talk about Joshua a lot, but he's the one that really set up the kingdom of the Israelites. He wasn't a king, but he was the one that got all the land, right? This dude did some crazy stuff. You guys got to read the book of Joshua. Some of the things he did to the kings that were in the land is unheard of. Hanging them by their thumbs. Like, it was crazy stuff. And I like it. You know, I like that Joshua battle. Let's go to Joshua chapter 1, and when you got it, say amen. Joshua chapter 1 says this. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all the people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. It says, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. I know that's somebody's favorite verse right there, right? For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to the fathers to give you. Only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. All right, so we see right there, this happened because Joshua was in prayer time with God, right? He was talking with God. That's prayer. Sometimes it didn't say that Joshua bowed his head and began to pray. It said God was able to speak to him. He had to be at a place where he was in an attitude or a mindset of prayer to hear from God. And God gave him clarity on his call. Because right, this whole situation happened because Moses was dead and they had no leader. They didn't know what to do. They were waiting. Okay, God, we're at the Jordan River. This is where they were at. Moses went off. He walked off and he was gone. Right? He was buried somewhere. They still don't know where he was at. And we're just waiting here at the Jordan because we don't have any plans. And see, this is what happens. Sometimes we get to that place where, okay, God, you've got us to here. Now we're trying to figure out what to do next. But Joshua knew what to do. He knew to just pray and wait on God. And God spoke to him. And the good thing about God is he gave him a clear understanding of what he was going to do. He said, just like I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. See, sometimes if he didn't do that, he would have been like, I don't know how this is going to work. But see, Joshua was in training. It says he was the assistant of Moses. So he had been already, he had saw all the great things Moses had did. Remember the war that he was facing, and then Joshua was one of the ones holding his arms up. That wasn't Joshua? No, Joshua was fighting, I'm sorry. Aaron and who? Okay, her. Well, he was there battling, and he was like, Moses, get them arms up. Right? He was, but what you see is he saw how God moved in Moses' life. So now he was like, okay, if God says he's going to be with me just like Moses, man, I know I'm good. I'm getting ready to go. Because, you know, even for him to cross the Jordan, he had to be like, unless God tells me to do it, I'm not doing it. Because I'm not going to be the one swimming in that water. Right? Because you got to remember, he was there when Moses crossed the Red Sea. He could have just did that, but he waited on God. See, some of us trying to cross seas, but if we're not waiting on God, it ain't going to work. Amen? So he waited on God for his mission, and let's see what happened after that. It says in verse 10, then Joshua commanded. I like how it happened. As soon as he heard from God, he began to move. Especially we see it. It says, then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves. For within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God has given you to possess. And the Reubenites, the Gadites, and half the tribe of Manasseh, Joshua spoke, saying, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God has given you rest and has given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your livestock shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of the Jordan. But you shall pass before your brethren armed, all your mighty men of valor, and help them until the Lord has given you your brethren rest as he gave you. And they also have taken possession of the land which the Lord your God has given them. Then you shall return to the Lord Then you shall return to the land of your possessions and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on the side of the Jordan toward the sunrise. So they answered Joshua, saying, all that you command us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we heeded Moses in all things, so we will heed you. Only the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your command and does not heed your words and all that you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. All right. So what we see is after God tells him what to do, he tells the people what to do as a leader. Right. And we see that the word that God spoke to him is confirmed even in this passage. Because they say, we're going to follow you just like we follow Moses, right? And that's key. We get to see how God's word, after we've prayed, God will confirm what he is going to do. Amen? And you'll see that confirmation. And we get to see that in this story of Joshua. Amen? And you can go on and read. I definitely encourage, as I've continued to say, everybody to read the whole Bible. But go ahead and read Joshua. See what happens. There's a lot of wars that go on. But we also see what happens when the whole Israelites were obedient. And even when some of them were disobedient, the ramifications of that. Amen. Let's go to Samuel, the prophet. I call him the young prophet. Let's go to Samuel chapter 3. And we really get to see that even in this, that God, he will use even some of the young children. Amen. He will use some of them to do what he needs to get done. I even look at, in this 1 Samuel chapter 3, we look at some of the kids that are coming to church before their parents in this area. God is beginning to work on them. And by working on them, they're going to be able to go back to their households and work on their parents. And that's something that we got to pray. If God ain't going to send the grown-ups, he's going to send the children. And if the children get a hold of it, it's going to make the parents figure out, oh, man, I got to get something together. Amen? This one is called Samuel's First Prophecy. It says, now the boy Samuel, somebody say boy, ministered to the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. Come on, somebody say it was rare. And it says there was no widespread revelation. So what does that mean? People are searching for something. They were searching for the word of God. Right. And now today we live in a day and age where people think they can do that on their own. There's so many people I walk. Oh, I don't need to go to church. I have a relationship with God and we're good. You know, and I'll be like, no, you're not. That's not what the Bible says. That's what you made up. So what happened is there is a false revelation out there right now because there's people that think they're getting close to God, but they're not. Right? I know people that smoke weed and think smoking weed gets you close to God. That's what they think. They'll go to the bank with that. And I'm like, listen, that's not God. Your weed is your God right now. Why? Because it's altering your mind and it's getting you to a place where you think it's God. And the only way you think you can get back to God is to smoke weed. It doesn't work like that. God doesn't need any kind of herbals or instances to get you to get connected with him. Amen. But we see that a revelation was. It was really no wide revelation, as it said. And it came to pass in verse 2. At that time, while Eli was lying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see, and before the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here I am." So he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." And he said, "I did not call you. Lie down again." And he went down. And he went and lay down. Then the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." He answered, "I did not call you, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know. Look at this. This is important right here. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. So, okay, what do we see here? At this point, Samuel really didn't have a connection or even a prayer life with God. You guys see that? Because it says he didn't know him yet. But let's see what happens. Verse 8, and the Lord called Samuel again the third time. So he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you did call me." Right? Then Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. Then Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel answered, "Speak, for your servant hears." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I will do something in Israel at which both ears and everyone who hears it will tingle. In that day, I will perform against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows, because his sons made themselves vile and he did not restrain them. And therefore, I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever." So Samuel lay down until morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel was afraid to tell Eli the vision. And he was justified for that, right? But what we get to see is Samuel was taught how to listen to God. Even by Eli, right? Eli was like, "Okay, man, I'm not calling this guy. It's the third time. Maybe it's, hey, okay, it's God calling you. And if you're hearing it like that, just sit there and say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening,'" right? Eli had to have done that with God before. So he knew how to teach Samuel that. So what we see is there needs to be a training of the younger people so that they understand how to listen to God's voice and how to pray and be in connection with God. Amen. And so let's go ahead. It says verse 16. Then Eli said to Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." He answered, "Here I am." And what he said, "What is the word that the Lord spoke to you? Please do not hide it from me. God do so to you. And more also, if you hide anything from me of all the things that he said to you." Then Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." So Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel had been established. Somebody look at that and say established. As a prophet of the Lord. Then the Lord appeared again to Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Okay, so what we see is this prayer time, this first time that he had connection with God, God revealed to Samuel who he was, right? Samuel was a prophet after this point. Before that, he was serving and helping Eli and whatever he needed to do, which is great. We need to do that. We need to learn how to serve. Amen. And God showed him from being a servant, God was able to speak to him and say, okay, I'm going to use you. I got you. You've been faithful in these little things that you were doing. Because if you look at what he did the next morning, he did what he always did. And that was open the temple. Open the temple. And Eli was like, where you at? I know you in here doing something. You taking care of whatever you need to take care of. But God even allowed Eli to know that God spoke to him. And the Israelites recognized Samuel, the young boy, as a prophet at that point. Amen. And then what we see after that in verse 21 is God continued to reveal to him his purpose. Samuel is one of the greatest prophets in the Bible. He's the prophet that ordained the kings, which he probably wasn't really feeling. He didn't want to do it, but they kept begging him for it. You know, sometimes when your kids beg you over and over and over, you're like, man, just take it. And that's kind of how they got a king. But it led to the King David, who was a great king. Amen. And we see things that happened in the Israelites' kingdom from then on. But what we see is that prayer was able to give clarity to these young men's cause. Amen. Their purpose and their mission. God will reveal that to you through prayer. Amen. So I just want to encourage you to make sure you're taking time out and spending time in prayer with God. Amen. Get that getaway time so that you can hear what God has for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just pray, dear God, that you be glorified in our life, dear God. We just want to pray, dear God, as this word was spoken, dear God, that we would hear this word and allow it to be planted in our life, oh God, that we would spend time with you, dear God, so that we could move in the direction that you need us to move, dear God, that we would go where you need us to go, dear God, and that we would listen to your voice. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thank you for spending time with us here at New Creation Christian Center. Feel free to join our worship services on Saturday at 7 p.m. and Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington, 98118. Visit our website, newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.